I love Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. You know, God is able to do more than we can even imagine. And with his power at work within us, we can do more than we can imagine. And we worship him today. Last fall, we entered into a process that we have come to call revision. The purpose was for our church to re-envision the future that God has for us and to set our sights on that future that he has. One of the first tasks that we had was to pray about and discover and envision how the Lord would have us to maximize our church's unique strengths, but also then how we might be able to address the areas where we feel like we can improve. And the next step in the process was to develop a statement of expressing our understanding of the mission that God has for our church. Now, Travis members, do you know our mission statement? Can you say our mission statement? Well, our boys and girls can. Watch this. That's awesome. So from the scriptures, we understand that our mission is to know, follow, and share Jesus Christ. And so the next step in the revision process was for us to discern exactly how God wanted us to go about fulfilling that mission. And this is what we call vision. We formed 9 implementation teams with the assignment of helping us to flesh out and shape out this vision. And I'm going to ask, if you're a member, their names are listed, by the way, in your worship folder. But if you're a part of one of our implementation teams, would you stand at this time? And we want to express our gratitude to you. All of you on an implementation team, thank you. Now, the vision that we bring before you today is the product of literally hundreds and hundreds of man and woman hours of praying and studying the scriptures and evaluating and strategic thinking. And today we want to take you up on a mountain with us, where hopefully you can see with us the horizon that is out there before us. In the months and the years to come, we're going to walk down the mountain. We're going to move out into the reality of this vision that God has for us. And yet from the mountaintop, we're not going to be able to see all of the details. And there's going to be a lot that is shared this morning. But just like you're on a mountaintop, you don't see very clearly all of the little details in the valley below. But those are going to be fleshed out in the weeks to come, and we'll be able to see that more clearly. But at the end of the service, we're going to have something to put in your hands for you to take home that will tell you more about the vision that you're hearing today. Now, the way to move from vision to reality is implementation. And while much of the implementation is still taking shape, some of it is already in process. For instance, 2 months ago, upon the recommendation of the SLT and our deacon body, our church approved the formation of what we're calling the Church Governance Study Team that will help us look at the way we make decisions and chart direction as a church. And you'll see in the worship folder the recommendation that is being brought by the nominated committee for the people who will serve on that team. And this Wednesday evening at 5:45 in the Great Room, we'll have our church conference and an opportunity for you to discuss that list of team members that they are proposing. And then we're going to vote next Sunday morning. This is such an important team. We're going to commission them next Sunday morning without discussion. Now, as we move through this whole process, prayer was such a vital, vital part of everything. In fact, the prayer implementation team was the very first team that went to work. And so I'm thankful to have Missy Watts coming now to tell you a little bit about how prayer is such a vital part of this vision. Missy?
We see a day when our church is an army advancing on our knees through prayer and fasting. When Dr. Deem first presented the concept we call revision to the church last September, he asked Travis members to do three things immediately. And the first of those was that we would begin to pray fervently. Dr. Deem asked that at least 120 Travis people would rise up immediately to pray fervently for the revision process. Well, that very day, more than 250 people committed to being part of the revision prayer effort. Really, that was not surprising. Travis is and always has been a praying church. Early on in our study of the challenges facing Travis, our strategic leadership team identified 8 things that this congregation values most. Prayer sits atop that list. Travis people have been faithful to pray in the past, and they are faithfully praying today, and they're committed to seeking the Lord's will for our future. Our prayer implementation team came up with this vision. We envision that Travis Avenue will be a house of prayer composed of every tribe, tongue, and nation. Just as firefighters and soldiers run toward danger, Travis people will run to challenges first via prayer. We will sit by the bed of the sick and lend a shoulder to those in need of encouragement. With humble hearts, we celebrate how God has answered our prayers. Travis has multiple prayer ministry opportunities in place. You can find a list of those ministries in the worship bulletin, in the weekly Travis e-news, and on our website. However, I want to share with you some of prayer ministry opportunities on which the prayer implementation team has focused and continues to focus. The prayer implementation team has been working to reestablish a formal prayer room for use by church members anytime the doors are open. Our team and the church staff have been busy renovating and equipping a room on the main hallway of the first floor of Building C. Soon, Travis members will be able to use it as our own on-campus war room. We currently are studying how we can set up a 24-hour prayer hotline that people would be able to call anytime, day or night, to have someone pray with or for them. The prayer implementation team also is working with other implementation teams to develop ongoing prayer training opportunities. We plan to host a catalytic prayer event annually. On January 20th through the 22nd, we will host a prayer conference featuring Dr. Tom Eliff. Plan now to be a part of this powerful event. Most importantly, the prayer implementation team feels strongly that everything that takes place at or through Travis in the days and years ahead should be bathed in prayer. Indeed, the first way that you can be a part of the revision process and involved in Travis' new vision is through prayer. Sign up to receive the Travis e-news in your email inbox each Friday. You can use that as your own weekly prayer guide. 1 John 5:14 and 15 says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him." Church, we have a new vision, but the first tool we have in achieving that new vision is a very old tool, prayer. Prayer has been central to the life of Travis for 106 years, and it must continue to be at the heart of Travis as we follow our new vision for sharing the good news of Jesus Christ in our neighborhoods, in this part of the city, and throughout the Fort Worth area and beyond. Pray with me, please. Father, we praise you that you are a great God. We pray for your kingdom to come and your will to be done in our own hearts as well as in your church. Give us hearts focused on your will and your glory, and forgive us for seeking our own will and our own agendas. Lord, make us a church hungry to know your truth, to follow your truth, and to share your truth with those whom you place in our paths and in our circles. Father, you are the God who gives endurance and encouragement. We ask that you will give us a spirit of unity among us as we follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and one mouth, we may glorify you, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to accept one another just as you have accepted us in order to bring you praise. Open our eyes to see you at work around us, and thank you for allowing us to join you in that work. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. In your holy name, amen.
You know, the main business of our church and any authentic New Testament church is to make disciples, to produce passionate followers of Jesus. We must take that mandate and that command of Jesus seriously. I don't want to stand before Jesus someday and hear him ask me, "What part of make disciples did you not understand?" And so we must take this seriously. Jesus commanded our church and every church of his to make disciples. And he said, "If you love me, you will keep my commands." And so this must be the passion, not just of pastors and staff members and a few zealous leaders in our church. This must be your passion as well as my passion. The Apostle Paul put it this way in Colossians 1, 28 and 29. I love this. He said, "We proclaim him, Jesus, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect, mature, complete in Christ. To this end, I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me." Now, as the SLT and the implementation teams evaluated our ministries as a church, we found that we have lots and lots of programs, but we do not have a discernible system, a clear path, an identifiable process where we are moving persons, members toward maturity in Christ. You know, Jesus said, "I am the way." And sometimes in the New Testament, the Christian faith is called the way. And so we began to dream about what that way, that path, that process, that avenue might look like. That would take people from their very first contact with us all the way to where we send them out as servants and missionaries and witnesses to our city and the world beyond, making a difference in their world. Some of you remember when there used to be an avenue, a street running right through the middle of our campus. And several years ago, we were able to close off the street, but the avenue still remained there. You remember that? And then several years ago, we built the Welcome Center over the avenue and put sidewalks and landscaping where the street used to be. Well, I'm here today to tell you the avenue is back. The avenue is back. I'm not talking about a physical street. I'm talking about a spiritual process, an avenue for moving people toward maturity in Christ. The avenue is back. Now, there are four intersections, if you will, along the avenue. As you can see on the screens and on the banner above me, it all starts with, "I am a guest." Here is our church's first contact. When someone first connects with us, clicks on our website, or drives on our parking lot and walks into our buildings, what kind of experience do we need them to have? We can do better. The next intersection is called, "I am a member." Now remember that our mission statement says that we exist to know, follow, and share Jesus Christ. And so in I Am a Member, we want to help people, first of all, to come to know Jesus Christ in the experience of salvation. That's the most important thing. And to become a member of God's family. But then beyond that, we want them also to become a member of the body of Christ here in the local church. But it doesn't end there. Our mission is to know, follow, and share Jesus Christ. And so we want everyone to come to a place where they can say, I am a disciple. By that we mean that they are growing in their knowledge of the Lord and their knowledge of the Word of God and developing the attributes of a passionate follower of Jesus Christ. We want that for every single one of you. Our mission is to know, follow, and share Jesus Christ. So we want every member to come to a place where they can say, I am a servant, involved in meaningful service in our church and out in our community where we are introducing people and sharing Jesus Christ with others. And at the end of the avenue, what we're doing is we're sending out this army of people out into our city and the world beyond to impact the world in the name of Jesus Christ. And the result will be that people are coming in at the front end of the avenue once again and beginning the process all over again. You see, the avenue will help us to create in our church a culture of discipleship. And it will help us to have a means of holding ourselves accountable for the progress that we are making along the way. The avenue will become a filter for us to help us discern what must we do and what must we not do, all depending on how it helps us to fulfill our mission. Church, the avenue is back. Some of our implementation team leaders are coming to help me over the next few moments to paint this picture a little more detailed for you. You see, it all starts again when a person first clicks on our website or drives on our parking lot and enters our building. Dan Reed leads our communications IT, and Emily Gentry leads our creativity IT, and they're going to unpack this a little bit more for us. Dan, Emily.
We see a day when our church utilizes every communications tool at our disposal to encourage one another and to communicate the gospel to our world. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. There was a day in Baptist life and in the life of Travis when we could expect people with little or no connection to this church or to any church to simply show up, hear a sermon, respond to God's call in their life, be baptized, and be church members. We may lament the passing of those days and the changing of American culture, but the fact is, today, few Americans who've never heard or never been much involved with a church, this church or any church, and few of those who've never given much thought to having a relationship with God, they just won't come in the door anymore. They won't simply walk in and hear a sermon. Yet the Great Commission compels us to go aggressively and to tell such people about a God who loves them so much and who wants to have a relationship with them so badly that he sent his only son to take the punishment for sins they're not even aware they're guilty of. So since they won't come to us, we must go to them. And at its core, that's what Travis's new vision is about, finding new ways to do just that.
We see a day when, like our Creator God, we are innovative in carrying out our mission with excellence. Since we can't expect many non-believers to walk through our front doors, we're rebooting our website, travis.org, to be our new front door, a virtual front door through which people in our community can walk virtually on their smartphones and on their computers. For many longtime Travis members, that may seem a little odd, but let me assure you, for anyone under the age of 40, and probably a whole lot of you over that age as well, the first and most natural way in which our guests will engage with Travis will be through our website, travis.org. While we continue to work to improve the way we meet and greet and serve those who walk through our doors right here on campus, the creativity implementation team and the communications implementation team and church staff have worked to dramatically improve and refocus travis.org to serve as a visually appealing, engaging, informative, and gospel-centered virtual welcome mat right here at Travis. So what you see above on the screen is a rendering of our next generation travis.org. It should be going live within the next few weeks. In itself, it won't win many people to Christ, but it will help those looking for a place to know, follow, and serve him. And it will help people who know next to nothing about Christ, but know they have a hole in their heart and are looking for some way to fill it up. Once those people get here, it will be up to us to befriend them, to serve them, to care for them, and to lead them in a saving relationship with God through Jesus Christ. In short, we see a day where people will become guests at Travis long before they actually walk through our doors. And right there, they'll be getting on the avenue.
The new and improved, I love that term, Travis.org also will, over time, grow and expand as a source for valuable information for Travis members. It will offer way more than just schedules and announcements. We expect in time to build out Travis.org into a vital tool that Travis members can use to access important information that will help them grow in their knowledge of the Bible and their understanding of current events from a biblical perspective. We see a day when we will build out Travis.org as a hub for Travis members to connect with one another digitally in order to connect with one another physically in study and in service and in fellowship and in ministry.
In conjunction with the rebooting of Travis.org, today we're introducing a new Travis logo and new approach to branding. You see a lot of symbolism in this logo, and over the next few weeks, our pastor will be unpacking that a little bit at a time. I just love it. In conjunction with that, we know that many people are uncomfortable talking about a church's brand, quote unquote, but that term clearly describes our efforts to create an easily recognizable and easy to understand message to the people both inside and outside of Travis. So when they see our logo and our branding elements, they'll quickly and naturally identify Travis as a place where believers earnestly seek to know, follow, and share Jesus Christ, both in what we say and what we do. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan and Emily. Mark Fanning is, yes, thank you. Mark Fanning is part of our lead team, and Nicosi Darnell is the leader of our disciple-making team. So we're thinking now, how do we move people from I am a guest to I am a member? Mark?
We see a day when we are a fellowship, where the love of Jesus is the gravitational pull of our church. In Romans 15:7, it says, "Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God." One of our biggest challenges that our church faces, or any church faces for that matter, is making sure that every guest that steps on to our campus has a great experience. If a guest is a non-believer, our ultimate goal is to introduce them to Jesus Christ so they might know him as Lord and Savior. If a guest is already a believer and lives in our Fort Worth area, our goal would be to have them to join us here at Travis and to grow, to follow and share him with our community. So we've created a team that is responsible for establishing how a truly great guest experience process should flow. So what do I mean by a process flow? We are trying to document and address every possible way that a guest can stay can step on our campus, how we can greet them, how we can best go about gathering their information, and how we should follow up with them after their visit. It all starts with making sure we communicate clearly with potential guests via our webpage, our signs, or our individual personal contacts. For them to learn how to get there and where they should go once they do get here. Here at Travis, we are what I call door challenged. Did y'all have a problem finding a door to come in here at Travis this morning? We have literally plus or minus 14 different entry points that a guest could possibly come into either our Sunday schools or into our worship service. So trying to staff each at every one of those points is a challenge and would require a lot of trained volunteers. So this guest experience implementation team is trying to determine which locations should serve as our primary points of greeting, registration and assimilation of our guests, and how we get them there. We want to make sure that our guests are greeted with a warm smile and welcome. Typically, this is done by one of the members of our first impression teams, either in the parking lot or at the doors or at the guest registration desk. Once we get our guests registered, in the most efficient and non-intrusive way, we will do everything possible to make sure they continue to have a great experience at Travis by escorting them to a Bible study group or the worship service. Their leaders and members of the groups will be trained in how to welcome and positively engage our guest. You know, what we don't want is for them to come into a Sunday school classroom, sit in a chair, and be stared at. Okay? Those are things that we want to talk about and try to improve on and make it the very best when we have guests here at Travis. We as Travis members also need to understand that making a guest feel welcome goes way beyond a simple one-time greeting. We as members should take the initiative to make sure our guests are introduced to other members. After Bible study, our members should invite guests to come sit with them in worship. And let's not stop at worship. Why not invite them to lunch after worship, or maybe to go get coffee, or to have dinner later in the week? We want them to have a great experience when they step on our campus. Of course, once we have registered a guest, either through Bible study or worship, we will need to make sure those guests are contacted quickly and positively a few days later. But it's important to remember why we're doing these things. We envision a time when Travis guest has such a great experience that very soon after that, they visit Travis, they no longer will be satisfied with just being a guest, but will want to be a Travis member, disciple, and servant. Thank you.
We see a day when every member of our church is spiritually vibrant follower of Jesus. As a facilitator for the disciple-making team, I'm so excited to share our vision for people deciding to become members of our church. One way we will help foster discipleship at Travis is by the revised orientation process for prospective members. We see a day where prospective members complete a revised orientation process in which they attend the Avenue Experience. In the first session, the Avenue Experience, we will address our church's values and mission statement, which is to know, follow, and share Jesus Christ. The class facilitator will share his or her personal testimony and explain the gospel. We will help new members learn how to share their own personal testimony and how to worship in a biblical way. New members will be given the book, I Am a Church Member, which is a great resource for helping new members get involved in our church. The second session will orient prospective members to the church itself, as they will be provided with a tour of our facilities. We will discuss personal gifts, skills, background, life experience, struggles, and areas of growth, as well as conflict resolution. This will be important as it will allow for prospective members to connect with members from our church body who may have similar interests. Throughout this process, prospective members will be assigned a care coach who will walk them through this orientation process. We feel that this will be an important component as we want those being oriented to have a consistent connection with someone from our church body. So we will definitely be looking toward you as church members to volunteer in assisting in this process of becoming care coaches for our prospective members. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all, as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved."
Thank you, Mark and Nikosi. Now, we are passionate about helping people move from "I am a guest" to "I am a member." And so we thought it would be fun for you to hear the story of a family in our church, relatively new members, who are making that step, have made that step from "I am a guest" to "I am a member." I'm going to ask Hani and Nermeen Abdelmalek to join me here on the platform. And they have an amazing story, have become a part of the Travis family here. And we wanted you to hear, this is what it looks like for a person to move from "I'm a guest" to "I'm a member."
Okay. I apologize for the accent. Okay. I'll try to. Okay, my name is Hani. This is my wife, Nermeen. We are from Egypt. We came both from a Coptic Orthodox background. But early on, we believed in Jesus and became evangelicals. After we got married in 2006, we served together in different evangelical churches in our country. Furthermore, we used to go to outreaches in Upper Egypt before the uprising, 2011. Since 2009, I served as an assistant pastor in Grace Apostolic Church in North Cairo under Senior Pastor M. Louise. We came here to the United States in 2014 so that I can pursue my master's degree in Southwestern.
This summer, we were looking for VBS for our boys. And we got know from our friends who are members here at the church about the VBS here in June. One of them even helped us to by driving the kids to the church some days when Hani wasn't able to do it. This was the window from which we saw the children ministry at the Travis, which our kids needed. Family is the first factor that attracted us to Travis. It's important to us, not only because of our culture background, but more importantly because of its biblical basic. We needed our children to feel sense of belonging to the church, to view the church not only as a worship place for the parents, but for them also. In other words, a bigger family for the Lord. One more thing, the child care ministry helped us to enjoy the Sunday school and to be more focused.
Second factor that attracted us to the church is the presence of some genuine Christians who are members here. The life testify for Christ. These people helped us when we first came to four tours, namely Kent and Karen Sanders, long before even we come to Travis. The presence of these people here gave us a sense of security, comfort, and trust. Moreover, the people we met here are very welcoming and friendly, especially in our Sunday school class that we greatly enjoy. They pray for us and for each other, and they encourage us to share our hearts and to minister and to integrate in the church. Third factor is related to both the worship style and the pulpit. The style of worship here is balanced between hymns, which I prefer, and contemporary music, which Nermeen prefers. Yeah, it's hard. Yeah. So finally, this balance helped us to worship together. Yeah. Also, the pulpit is usually easy to understand most of the times for people like us because English is not our first language. Finally, from our few visits here in Travis seems to us as a church determined to serve its community and also to serve other places in the world through missions. This corresponds to the Great Commission in Matthew 28 and to Acts 1, verse 8. Our membership means we are part of this biblical commission.
We see a day when every member of our church is a spiritually vibrant follower of Jesus. In transitioning from I am a member to I am a disciple, we not only address our value of people desiring to become a member of Travis, but we further determine to follow Jesus Christ's call for us to make disciples as outlined in Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 19, where it states, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Verse 20 says, "Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." I believe that these verses speak to the gift of stewardship that God has given his people as they proactively participate in the disciple-making process in regard to themselves and to others within their sphere of influence. At Travis Avenue, we want to assist members in navigating through the know, follow, share process as they are able to express a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, a personal commitment to following Christ in daily living, as well as in sharing the gift of salvation to others locally and internationally. As a church body, we want to develop into spiritually mature disciples of Christ through a number of strategies. I've already talked about the Avenue experience. Other strategies for disciple making include 1, an exploring God class for persons within and outside of the church who may desire to learn more about Christianity. 2, a mentorship process, pairing church members who have a desire to learn and grow from each other spiritually. 3, developing a resource library of discipleship tools for church members to utilize in a variety of contexts, with these tools being available electronically and in the church library as well. 4, developing an ongoing education course for members desiring to learn the essentials of disciple making. 5, providing training for Sunday Bible study leaders, as well as care coaches in the disciple-making process. In combination, we see a day when these strategies will assist our church in being obedient to God's call to make disciples.
So we're moving people from I am a member to I am a disciple. But we know that the fruit of discipleship is service. And so Javier Vasquez is coming. He's the leader of our mobilization team. And then following him, Cherie Gallagher is the leader of our community outreach team. They're going to share a little bit more of the vision.
We see a day when the members of our church make up an army mobilized for meaningful service in our church and community. The Bible says, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." As followers of Jesus, we want to be like him in our service. Our research indicates that we have a higher than average percentage of Travis members who are engaged actively in serving our church and community versus trends, church trends nationally. That's wonderful, and we should all be very pleased and very proud of that. However, we also have discovered that many of these same members are serving in multiple capacities. It is extremely important for the future of Travis that we continue to set a high standard for committed service. But to do this well and properly, we need every man, woman, student, and child to recognize that Christ calls us all, individually and collectively, to consistent and committed service. In other words, we need every Travis member to do the work of a disciple. Jesus, during his earthly ministry, used these words with his disciples and other followers. He said, "Follow me, go, preach, make, baptize, teach, heal, seek, do, learn, tell, believe, drive out, raise, give, find, stay, greet, speak, proclaim, acknowledge, welcome, love, disciple." And these are but a few of the expectations that Christ has set for all of his disciples. From this we understand that disciple is not just a noun, but a verb. In Romans 12, Paul informs us that according to the grace given to us, we all have different gifts. The mobilization implementation team envisions a day when every Travis member has identified or is in the process of identifying his or her spiritual gifts and physical talents and is actively engaging in using them for the benefit of Travis and to the glory of God. In addition, we collaborate with all of our church's ministries to provide Travis members with information about various service opportunities. Moreover, we will assist Travis members by helping them to match their gifts and talents to the service needs our church has identified. Beyond this, our aim is to guide, encourage, and remind Travis members that we all should seek opportunities to serve, not only within the church, but also out in our community.
Good morning. My name is Cherie Gallagher, and I'm the leader of the Community Outreach Implementation Team. We see a day when we are all contagious witnesses for the gospel of Christ and his kingdom, personally, locally, and globally. The Avenue graphic concludes with, "I am a servant." However, this is not the end of our journey as Christians. We will return to the beginning of an ageless and unending opportunity to send disciples out into our community to bring our new guests into the entrance of the avenue so they may embark on God's journey for them. The Bible says in Acts 1:8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Community outreach is a great strength at Travis Avenue Baptist Church. We have been obedient to Acts 1:8 by sharing the good news of Jesus Christ to our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth for generations. And we want that to continue. We want everyone to be involved. The Community Outreach Implementation Team has a list of outreach ministries that our church members are already doing. And you may already serve in some of those ministries. Maybe you serve with the Mercy Clinic or in Vacation Bible School, the Christmas Store, or our Benevolence Ministry. Maybe you hand out water to TCU football fans in our parking lot. Thank you. Thank you for your service. With the new school year, our focus right now is reaching out to children in our local schools. You know that Kids Hope has a tremendous success at George C. Clark Elementary School. They assist children with schoolwork and building stable, loving relationships with them that reflect God's love. We see a day where this outreach is expanded into more local schools, and that the mentors could follow their students into middle school and into high school, continuing to reflect God's love to them. If you find yourself along the avenue as a servant, we would love for you to join us in sharing God's word with others. If children of any age are your passion, let us know. We have a list of schools that welcome Kids Hope or the Good News program. Or you could begin this in your school. Remember, our mission is to know, follow, and share Jesus Christ.
Three of our implementation teams relate to our being good stewards of the resources that God has entrusted to us. And so we have now coming Scott Engel, who leads our finance team, Mike Peterson, who leads our staffing team, and Bill Rice leads our facility teams. Men?
We see a day when our members generously sow the seed of their financial resources, expecting a harvest for God's purposes. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9:6, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. The Travis Avenue Baptist Church has a strong history of generous giving, as its members over the years have acknowledged that God is the provider of all. They've given with thankful hearts, trusting Him to continue to provide and meet their needs daily. During our thorough examination of the challenges that Travis faces, the strategic leadership team learned that Travis' average giving per active member is way, way above the average for churches in America. That's good. Still, not all our members are givers, and many who give likely do not tithe. Now, the finance and stewardship implementation team envisions the practice of biblically based giving continuing and growing to include all members. This will benefit Travis and God's work, of course, but it will also benefit all those members who are obedient to God and follow the Bible's teaching on giving. We believe the generosity of our time, talents, and finances is the fuel for the Lord's work in meeting the needs of our community and the lost world, and for accomplishing the mission of our church. Our strategies to increase stewardship among our members and support the ministries of our church include developing and implementing ongoing training on the subject of spiritual stewardship for all ages. The tools we'll use for this include sermons, regular lessons in Sunday Bible study, and in the Avenue experience. We also will offer individual and family financial management training classes using materials like those found in Financial Peace University and our Crown Financial Ministries. Developing and expanding sources of revenue for the church, such as encouraging members to include Travis in their wills and trusts. Working with the finance committee, staff, and other implementation teams to plan fundraising for future needs, such as property and equipment improvements and additions, and for special events or projects. And developing and expanding communication methods that provide a clear picture to our members of where Travis stands financially at all times, because we believe that God's people are faithful to give when they know what the needs are. We look forward to implementing, refining, and adding to these strategies as we together seek to know, follow, and share Jesus Christ.
We see a day when our members are equipped by spiritual servant leaders to use our spiritual gifts and abilities as disciples to build up the church and to fulfill Christ's mission. One of our most precious resources as a congregation is our staff. We at Travis have been blessed with a long history of talented men and women who have dedicated their lives to full-time service to our Lord Jesus Christ. We see a day where this legacy of leadership continues for generations to come. The staffing implementation team has been tasked to prayerfully and strategically consider what the staff at Travis Avenue Baptist Church should look like as we move into the future. Our ministerial and support staff have been very supportive in working side by side with our team as we examine many areas of what it takes for them to be successful. They have provided detailed time studies of what makes up the day in the life of our ministers, how they spend their busy weeks, and to help us help them to determine if there's more efficient tools and processes to help them focus on their particular area of ministry. We have also had each minister do an examination of the many ministries that they are responsible for. Did you know that our staff, the ministers on our staff, are responsible for 107 ministries throughout our church? That examination was a step in helping our ministers determine if they are allocating the appropriate resources to each of these ministries. Our staffing implementation team has been working closely with the personnel committee to identify some key strategies that we will see will help make our staff even more successful as we move forward with our new vision to know, follow, share Jesus Christ. These strategies include the creation of a staff development plan, which outlines where we need to dedicate our staff resources to most efficiently achieve our vision. We also are looking to realign staffing duties to accomplish our mission. We want to encourage church investment in our staff, and then also evaluate our processes for all future staff hires. We are very excited about what the Lord is preparing us for. Please continue to pray for our current and our future staff members and our personnel committee as we look to implement these staffing strategies to help us spread the good news of Jesus Christ.
Church, we see a day when our campus is like a city setting on a hill, shining light and love of Jesus to our community. As you realize, church, we have been in a revitalization of our community. Over the years, you have seen the progress that's taken place the north of us on Magnolia. You've seen the transition that TCU has made on the west. You have seen that coming from the west to the east down Berry Street. You have seen the Berry Street Initiative just recently complete a project on the north past the Walmart on Shaw, south on to Walmart on Shaw back to the north on Bowie Street. You've seen that take place. We as a church have been a revitalization program for the last number of years. As you look around our campus, you've seen the Welcome Center come on. You've seen the Children's Building take place. And then the last building, the West Building, is our last project. We as a church are very thankful for what the Lord has given us. Our church has approximately 13 plus acres of land. It has an asset value of over $16 million. And we need to be good stewards of those assets. The facility implementation team wants to urge the church to propose that we immediately set up a new master plan team to look at the future of our church and the improvements that need to take place. We need to determine as a church what we need to do with our older buildings like Building A and B. We need there's other pressing needs on our campus that we need to address. Of course, we always do this with the thought in our mind that we need to be debt-free as we do these things. We do not want to take on any long-term debt to accomplish these missions. Our buildings should be clean, should be inviting to our guests, and be attractive as we serve and we worship together. Some of the beautification has already taken place. There's been over 20 projects that have been identified in the last few weeks. And one of our classes, the Royal Scott Royal class, has taken on initiative to start working on those projects. They've taken 7 of the 20, and we're looking for other Sunday school classes to do likewise. We also want to create an asset management plan for our campus to plan for the optimal use of our facilities and equipment. We have to take care of our facilities. It's an important project of the church, not to let them get in a deterioration standpoint. We envision our church being the lighthouse, inviting to our community to join us for spiritual growth and healing. Our church should always be the visible symbol of Christ, love, and presence for our city.
We want our church to begin to think about our 2-mile mission. 2 miles directly to the west of us is one of the greatest universities in the United States, TCU. 2 miles to the north of us, just this side of downtown, is what is called the hospital district, where most of the major hospitals in our city are located, and where every day thousands of people, hurting people, go for help. 2 miles to the east of us, just to the other side of I-35, is a great challenge in low-income families. 2 miles to the south of us, near where Southwestern Seminary is located, neighborhoods populated by Spanish-speaking people. Within our 2-mile mission, you will find the largest high school in Fort Worth, Paschal High School. You will find the Magnolia Street Entertainment District, one of the most popular entertainment districts now in our city, and also, incidentally, one of the hottest real estate markets in our city. You will find within our 2-mile mission a large number of Hispanic families, Spanish-speaking families, who we have the opportunity to reach with our Travis and Espanol congregation, but also we envision that our English-speaking services and ministries are becoming more and more diverse. Do you understand that this 2-mile mission, this 2-mile radius around our church, may arguably be the most racially, culturally, ethnically diverse area in all of Tarrant County? And we are sitting right in the middle of it. Now, over the years, our church has repeatedly made the choice to remain here in the heart of the city. And I'm so thankful we have. But along with that, we have not yet really owned this part of the city. By that I mean we have not fully taken responsibility for sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with the 40,000 people or so who live and work in this part of the city. Some of them are within walking distance of our church. And so our 2-mile mission now challenges us to think in these terms. We must continue to equip you to be witnesses and servants to your neighbors. But at the same time, we have to be serious about being servants and witnesses to our neighbors as a church here within the 2-mile mission of our church in South Fort Worth. Again, there are 40,000 people who live in this region, in our 2-mile mission. What would it be like if we were able to share the gospel between now and 2020, share the gospel with every single one of those 40,000 souls? How many people would be saved? How many families would be restored? how many children would be rescued? Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden." Church, we are a city on the hill. We are a church here in the heart of a great 2-mile mission. So the avenue is going to ultimately take us out into the community as individuals and as a church. And the real difference will be made, church, listen very carefully, the real difference will be made in a change of our thinking. For you, for me, not to just think about going to church 1 or 2 hours on Sunday. The change has to be this. We have to begin to think about not just going to church, but being the church in our city, everywhere God scatters us, all over the Metroplex and our 2-mile mission and beyond. Just to give you a few more details of this as we're wrapping up here, Cherie Gallagher is coming now to tell you just a little bit more of the exciting things and the possibilities in our 2-mile mission. Cherie?
Remember, we see a day when we are all contagious witnesses for the gospel of Christ and his kingdom, personally, locally, and globally. As I shared with you earlier, we intend on reaching children in local schools, but there are numerous other ways that we can share Christ's love and the gospel within our 2-mile mission. This is our Jerusalem. Our mission of our church is to know, follow, and share Jesus Christ. The Community Outreach Implementation Team hopes to create a list of current ministries so God's servants at Travis Avenue can be ready to serve. We want to assist in strengthening and supporting and expanding the ministries that are already on our campus. We hope to be a catalyst to create outreach to the fire departments, the police training facility, the hospital district, near Southside businesses, students at TCU, and even at the University of North Texas Health Science Center, as well as opportunities within city-sponsored events. We hope to provide evangelistic training for our servant members on a regular basis. We envision all of the small groups on our campus identifying their passion for ongoing, long-term relationship-building ministry and adopting a ministry strategy. The Bible says in Philippians 2:13, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." And verse 15 says, "So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky." What is your passion? Consider these questions. What needs do you see in your church and your community? If you could meet any need, what would it be? What group do you enjoy working with the most? Your answers to these questions may match an opportunity that we've already identified, or they may spark a new idea in you. Our Jerusalem is waiting. Let us act on behalf of his good purpose and be the shining stars over the sky, over the avenue, and beyond.
Last Sunday, as the Olympics were closing, NBC's Bob Costas addressed the fact that many people were skeptical that the city of Rio de Janeiro could pull off the Olympics because of the tremendous political and economic upheaval that was going on in that nation. But Bob Costas said this. He said, "Toward the end of the games, a Rio native said this to me. We know that our city and our country are not perfect. But one thing each of us can do perfectly is to show you how much we love our country and how happy we are to have you here." I have a similar sentiment today. We know our church is not perfect. And certainly I am not a perfect pastor. But I look forward to spending the next years together, linking our arms together to perfectly show our city how much we love each other, how much we love our city, and most importantly, how much we love Jesus. Amen. Church, I have never been more excited about the possibilities for our future as a church. And I believe that God is smiling on us in this season. Just one little example of that, really one big example of that. This year, we've had a wonderful year financially. The Lord has just blessed us in a remarkable way financially. But late this past week, we received one of the largest single financial gifts we've ever received in the history of our church. I believe God is saying, the avenue is back. Go for it. Church, I'm pumped about going for it and living out this vision that God has set before us. Now, we are a body. And the only way for a body to get better and stronger is for you and for me to get better and stronger. So where are you along the avenue? Maybe you're here today as a guest and you need to take the next step. At the end of the service, in just a moment, if you will just go out these doors and to your right to the Welcome Center, there's a table that says, I am a guest, and we have a special gift for you, and we'd love to meet you personally as our guest today. If you are at that point now where you are ready to take that next step, there is an I am a member table right next to the I am a guest table. You can sign up for the very first, the Avenue Experience membership class. Maybe you are at the point of saying, I am a member, but you've been stuck there. And you've been challenged today that the only way our church can go stronger is if I get stronger as a disciple of Jesus. And so if you'll go to the I Am a Disciple table, there'll be information there about resources you can get hold of to help you begin to grow in your relationship with Christ or get connected to a small group Bible study, which every one of us needs to be a part of on Sunday mornings. Or perhaps the next step for you as a disciple and a follower of Jesus is to move to that I am a servant intersection. And if you go to that table, I am a servant, there's information there where you can volunteer right now. Just start volunteering as a children worker, a preschool worker, working with First Impressions, or any number of other areas of service. Church, this vision is a great vision. And I told our leaders earlier today, my heart has been racing all week long as I think about the possibilities. But I can also tell you that this is a bit overwhelming to me, and maybe you have felt like you've been trying to drink out of a fire hydrant today. You're just blown away. This is a great vision. And it is a bit overwhelming. But I want to remind us, church, that we serve and worship a great God who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever imagine, and empowered by His power, we can do more than we can imagine in the strength that He supplies. And so, church, I want to ask you to stand to your feet right now, and I want you to join hands with the people across the aisle in the balcony and here on the floor, and I want us just to worship and to get our eyes on our great God.